SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
A new week starts right here, right now, live on Football Full Circle, all across the Sports Grid Radio Network. He is the mastermind of the pigskin. That is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. Lisi, I actually a pretty busy time and weekend around the National Football League and just football in general. We had some big news over the weekend. We had some big contract extensions that came out today. We've got teams that have a returning head coach reporting for OTAs. Aaron Rodgers in-house for the New York Jets, who have a new jersey, and over the past weekend, Lisi guy, some spring games in college football. More than 80,000 packed in to the Shoe in Columbus to take in the new era of Ohio State's offense under Chip Kelly, still led, of course, by Ryan Day. A lot to get to here on this edition of Football Full Circle.
Yeah, we're starting to get into the crux of it right now, Ben. This is what it's all about a couple of 10 days away from the NFL draft. We saw the New York Jets unveil their new jerseys and uniforms for the upcoming season. The Jets faithful are all excited about Aaron Rodgers, Big Bad Aaron, and the New York Jets in 2024. And then, as you know, college football, spring games, Ohio State, one of the contenders for a national championship, new offensive weapons like Quinn Sean Junkins, and obviously Will Howard. This is where you get to determine which teams are for real and potentially which teams maybe are just, you know, not living up to the hype in 2024.
It's one of the beauties of spring ball as well. When it comes to a close, although sad, it's really the school year at these respective colleges and universities coming to an end, which, all right, they get a couple of weeks off, but when they return for summer workouts, that means fall camp is on the horizon. Let's make sure we bring in that Sports Grid Radio audience on Sirius XM channel 159. 159 is the home for Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM. This is Football Full Circle. He is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. Lisi, let's start with some contract news around the National Football League over the weekend and then early on this Monday. And we start in Philadelphia. Devontae Smith extended by the Eagles, reaching that contract extension after the fifth year of his rookie deal. It will be three more in Philly to the tune of $75 million with $51 million guaranteed. So Devontae Smith is staying in the city of brotherly love for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, I mean, in a mainstay of that offense, right? A pure professional. And you could argue that, you know, he has stepped up and been the more consistent player in potential, you know, playoff runs. Now, you know, A.J. Brown did get the touchdown in the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. But, you know, Devontae Smith had a better game in the playoff loss to Tampa Bay than A.J. Brown. So we'll see how this plays out. He's definitely a home run hitter. And if Jalen Hurts and the Eagles are going to contend for an NFC championship, you need Devontae Smith to be happy. So no doubt there. There was no shocker that Devontae Smith wasn't going to be a part of the offense this coming season.
Yeah, one of those three wide receivers, of course, that went in the top 10 in the 2021 NFL draft after Devontae Smith won the Heisman Trophy the year prior in college football. Devontae Smith, the 10th overall pick for Philadelphia. So what does that mean? Philly already picked up his fifth-year option of his rookie deal. He has completed three NFL seasons. He has two more under his rookie contract, extended 3 years beyond that. So at least as of right now, under contract through 2028 in Philadelphia. That's good for the Eagles. And you might be thinking, Joe, okay, just finished year number three. You picked up his fifth-year option. You had him under his rookie deal for two more seasons. Why engage in these contract negotiations and extension talks now? Well, because it's the foresight of Howie Roseman and Philadelphia in that front office. And what I mean by that, Joe, remember a couple of years ago when Patrick Mahomes got the 10-year contract extension for $500 million, and it was $500 million, how ludicrous that is for somebody to make that amount of money for playing football, and it was seen as this gigantic deal, and certainly was. But based on annual average value of that salary and the cap hit on a year-to-year annual basis, it was actually great foresight from Brett Veach and that Kansas City front office to get Patrick Mahomes under that deal earlier rather than later, because Mahomes last year was not even one of the five highest paid quarterbacks in the National Football League from that annual average salary basis. And that's crazy to say. So with the wide receiver market soon to be reset by the likes of a Ja'Marr Chase, it makes a lot of sense and was very prudent from Philadelphia, Joe, to get this deal done now. $25 million a year for Devontae Smith, $51 million guaranteed. Again, these are big, lofty numbers. They might not be as big as when the wide receiver market sets this offseason or maybe next year.
Yeah, you're right. But, you know, we talk about continuity of a locker room, and you're talking about the, one of the best players from an offensive perspective outside their quarterback, Jalen Hurts, right? You want to make them happy, and you want to go into the season focused. That's the biggest thing. Right. And we can argue, you know, the situation and how it played out with Lamar Jackson all the way down to the very end. They allowed that situation to play out because, you know, things didn't get taken care of sooner rather than later. And at the end, even though Lamar was happy, that still put negativity in the locker room. It put negativity in terms of the continuity perspective, in terms of the perception regarding potential free agents and other role players, and that's not what you want to see. You want to see the team be proactive. If there is a legitimate A-plus type of player, you want to see them signed, and hey, let's move on to bigger and better things.
Well, that's a really good point too, Joe. And when you think about the continuity, now Philadelphia has made their moves this offseason. They extended Landon Dickerson at the start of free agency. They extend Jordan Mailata. They have made some of these contract extensions now for these new pieces in place. And of course, the big acquisitions of guys like Saquon Barkley, CJGJ, CJ Gardner-Johnson back in the Philadelphia secondary. The Eagles offseason has been very optimistic for a team that, of course, stumbled down the stretch to end off 2023 and bounce in the opening round of the playoffs on the road in Tampa by the Buccaneers. But again, part of it is the prudent financial maneuverings of Philadelphia. Because, Joe, when you think about the wide receiver market about to reset, it's really the guys in the draft prior to Devontae Smith. That would be 2020, because what a wide receiver class it has been. CeeDee Lamb and namely Justin Jefferson. We'll get to T. Higgins, who spoke to the media over the weekend at his youth football camp in Cincinnati in just a little bit. But, Joe, those contract extensions for CeeDee Lamb, for Justin Jefferson, those are going to be monumental. Ja'Marr Chase in the fold there as well in the same draft class, fifth overall in 2021 as Devontae Smith. Those deals are going to be record-setting. Those deals are going to reset what the wide receiver market makes in terms of those contracts, and that's why it's good to get in early when you spend a little bit up front, but it might not look nearly as lofty after these deals are done for Jay Jett and Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah, that's what a great GM does, and that's what a GM is there for. It's not just that year. It's the vision to see where the future years of the organization are, and great GMs take the proactive approach as opposed to just the wait-and-see approach, which could hinder an organization, especially if you get an injury down the road. So that was a great move by Roseman, and you know what? He deserves a lot of credit for signing Smith sooner rather than later, Ben.
Yeah, absolutely so. And we'll talk about what wide receivers might reset the market and where these guys stand from the 2020 NFL draft. That's CeeDee Lamb not coming to voluntary workouts as OTAs begin for teams that retain their head coach around the NFL, and guys like T. Higgins as well. Plenty of conversations coming your way on this Monday, up next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle. Wide receivers get some attention from us to start off this a week here on a Monday on FFC. Lisi, we talked about Devontae Smith in the contract extension for the Philadelphia Eagles. Three-year deal, $75 million, $51 million guaranteed. That is after Devontae Smith's fifth and final year under his rookie deal. He's about to enter his fourth year in the National Football League. So 2025 would be year five 5 3-year extended on top of that. He remains with the Eagles organization through the 2028 NFL campaign as of this moment. And he was drafted in 2021. But, Lisa, there's a couple of wide receivers that we believe that were drafted in 2020 that are going to get extended and or paid or are currently under the franchise tag in the National Football League. Let's start with CeeDee Lamb, because today begins OTAs, voluntary workouts, organized team activities for these guys. Just voluntary offseason program, not OTAs, excuse me, but voluntary offseason program for guys around the National Football League if they have a returning head coach. If you had a new head coach, April 1st was the start day of that. So we saw some guys show up today to practice at their team facilities once again to have meetings, to go through a couple of workouts, so on and so forth. CeeDee Lamb reportedly, Joe, is not going to be there in Dallas. He is going to skip the offseason program for the Cowboys at this moment as he looks to renegotiate a long-term contract extension with Dallas. He was drafted, of course, in the first round of 2020. He still is in his fifth and final year of his rookie deal upcoming with about $17 million fully guaranteed for this upcoming season. So, Lisi, when you look at CeeDee Lamb and what is at stake here for the Cowboys, again, he's going to skip the offseason program, but we know that he is going to look to be extended at some point this offseason, and that's where pertains to the DeVonta Smith contract news. This number for CeeDee Lamb, a potential number for Justin Jefferson, a potential early contract extension for Ja'Marr Chase. Those contracts are going to reset the marketplace.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're talking about three of the most dynamic playmakers in the sport, right, as it relates to potentially the wide receiver position. I mean, CeeDee Lamb was the best player from an offensive perspective throughout the regular season for the Dallas Cowboys. That's what allowed Dak Prescott to put up those numbers in the regular season. Now, both players were non-existent in the playoff loss, but that doesn't matter. We know about the body of work. And if you want a locker room that's, you know, ready for action, in terms of 2024, I suggest that CeeDee Lamb gets his money. We'll see how Jerry Jones plays it out and the organization. I mean, Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase, I mean, you could argue that Justin Jefferson without, you know, Justin Jefferson in that lineup, what is Minnesota overall? They're not even a contender maybe from an offensive perspective. So, especially when you look at Sam Darnold coming there. So, that is why it is important for all of these teams, Bengals, Vikings, and Cowboys, to take care of business and pay these guys, because they can make an immediate impact with another contender within their division. So we'll see how this plays out over the next couple of months.
Yeah, absolutely so, Joe. I think it's a really good point of what you laid out there. And when you look at the highest paid wide receivers currently in the National Football League, we shared DeVonta Smith, $25 million annually. We're looking at annual average value of a salary, not tying into cap hit specifically year through year. Just if it's a four-year, $120 million deal like Tyreek Hill has, we're talking $30 million annually. And Tyreek Hill is the top paid wide receiver in the National Football League, $30 million a year. DeVonta Adams, $28 million, second best. Cooper Kupp, third highest paid wide receiver in the National Football League, $26.7 million. A.J. Brown at $25 million for Philadelphia. DeVonta Smith won't start seeing $25 million until 2026. Just to keep that in mind, DK Metcalf rounds out the top five at $24 million. So if Tyreek Hill is currently the highest paid wide receiver in the National Football League, when CeeDee Lamb signs that contract extension, he's probably going to supersede it. It's just how inflation rates work for some of the most important positions in the National Football League. It does not mean that CeeDee Lamb is more important or better than Tyreek Hill, although he is right up there. But when he gets that contract extension from Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys, I think bare minimum it's $28 million like DeVonta Adams has, and it's probably north of the $30 million that Tyreek Hill will get. Same question for Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase. We would expect to see these numbers at some point this offseason come down the pipeline. And Joe, you made the point to start off the show, week and a half until the 2024 NFL draft begins, a week from Thursday night out in Detroit. That's really where the NFL offseason calendar starts to uptick again, where you see some of that financial maneuvering. And if there are any trades to be had, it's going to happen really here as the intensity ramps up again in the next 10 days.
Yeah, it does. And I'm actually curious about the Minnesota Vikings. And the reason why I say that is, are they a contender? Or are they in the minor rebuild with O'Connell and potentially a rookie quarterback, right? If that's the case, maybe Justin Jefferson is on the move, and maybe he does go with his teammates Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase somehow, some way. And that could be something to monitor, because I think you really have to make the assessment about some of these teams. We talk about New England being in a major rebuild. We talk about the Chargers with their new head coach, Jim Harbaugh, cleaning house and potentially rebuilding minorly to get back, you know, to potentially winning an AFC West championship. Well, what happens with Minnesota? If they choose not to sign Justin Jefferson, is he potentially on the move come draft day in just about 10 days?
Yeah, it's a really good point. And I don't know if he's going to be traded. That's going to be a monumental deal that would require so many draft picks. But think about A.J. Brown, right?
Yeah.
$25 million a year. Wanted that contract extension with the Titans. Did not receive it. 2 years ago, he was traded from Tennessee to Philadelphia. Got the contract extension and now sits at $25 million a year. I would expect still, Joe, for Justin Jefferson to remain in Minnesota. But you're right. If a deal is going to happen, it's probably going to happen in about 10 days. Same question then for T. Higgins, who was at his youth football camp over the weekend and was asked about his future in Cincinnati. Of course, T. Higgins placed under the franchise tag just over a month ago, earlier this offseason, back in March. And then quickly after that, demanded a trade from Cincinnati because he wants to be that number one guy. But as long as Ja'Marr Chase is in Cincy, he's probably not one. I don't know if he's two as much as 1A, but he's not going to be paid as the top wide receiver, even in his own NFL franchise, let alone the entirety of the market. But when he was at his youth football camp, he said he expects to play in Cincinnati this upcoming 2024 NFL season. What did you make of T. Higgins' remarks, Joe?
Yeah, again, you know, I think he is a disgruntled wide receiver. And I think, you know, even though maybe his heart is in Cincinnati, I think he definitely is going to opt out, you know. And I think he wants to go where he can get paid and get the value for his services. And again, you know, it's unfair. But, you know, when you have Ja'Marr Chase there and you have a quarterback in Joe Burrow eating a lot of money, you know, they're trying to make things right in regards to the contract. But again, if he wants to walk, then they might be on the move to potentially have that higher gun in regards to Justin Jefferson for 1 year. Jefferson has already came out, Ben, and said that he misses playing with Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow. Why is he saying that now, just 10 days away?
Yeah, I mean, it is interesting, right? It's all about posturing. It's always about looking out for yourself first and foremost, and Justin Jefferson knows that. But again, I do think that Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, the general manager in Minnesota, is looking to bring back Justin Jefferson and not let him go. At least that has been the party line for this Vikings organization. We'll talk about the draft and what could happen with what Minnesota decides to do a little bit later on here in this hour on Football Full Circle. Joe, I thought Donnie Wrightside, my co-host, of course, and your best friend on the early line, made a really good point today in terms of speaking of T. Higgins. And he pretty much put the line in the sand. He said there is not a chance that T. Higgins returns and plays under the franchise tag or a one-year deal for Cincinnati in 2024, virtually saying either a long-term contract extension between Higgins and the Bengals is agreed to, or he is getting dealt somewhere around the National Football League. We'll have that very conversation up next and how it pertains to a potential contract extension on the horizon for Ja'Marr Chase as well. We keep it rolling on Football Full Circle, live right here on Sports Grid Radio.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on Football Full Circle. It is FFC. So, Lisi guy, the wide receiver conversation continues. We shared before the break, T. Higgins speaking this weekend at his own youth football camp, saying he loves Cincinnati. He expects to be in Cincinnati in 2024. Now, that could mean a variety of things. A long-term deal is reached. T. Higgins plays under the franchise tag that the Bengals placed on him just over a month ago. Or it could mean a reworked short-term contract contract deal that they come to probably by July if no long-term deal is reached. But with T. Higgins requesting a trade not long after he was placed under the tag by Cincinnati, it could also mean that T. Higgins is on his way out at some point this offseason. Lisey, of those potentials, let's say T. Higgins' long-term deal in Cincinnati, T. Higgins plays under the franchise tag in Cincinnati, T. Higgins plays with a new team elsewhere in the National Football League in 2024, what do you think would be the favored side?
I think the favorite side is he plays with a new team. I think he's coming out in his heart. He wants to play with Cincinnati, but I still think it's 50-50. I think if Cincinnati has a better option or they can cut ties with T. Higgins to some capacity and lure maybe a more productive wide receiver or something of a better option, I think they go that route. I really do. It comes down to dollars and cents. So right now it's the situation like Lamar. If they really believe in T. Higgins, they sign him to a long-term deal somehow, some way, and they don't let the negativity linger, this long. So, again, the fact that we're 10 days out and he's still not sure and he's hopeful to play with Cincinnati leads me to believe, I would say, that it's more like 50-50 is on another team next year. I really believe that.
Yeah, so I'm very intrigued to see how this plays out. And I want to bring up Ja'Marr Chase because, as we said, Ja'Marr Chase drafted fifth overall back in the 2021 NFL draft. We just saw Devontae Smith get his contract extension with the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, Ja'Marr Chase is under his rookie deal for the next 2 years. That brings him through the 2025 NFL season. But again, you want to have some foresight. You want to be prudent in your financial maneuverings for guys that are expected to reset the wide receiver market. If Tyreek Hill is currently the highest paid National Football League wide receiver, $30 million annually, Ja'Marr Chase is going to get more than that. So how does that impact T. Higgins' deal right now if a long-term extension is to be reached outside of the franchise tag this offseason? Because it is posturing, right? It is a little bit of jockeying. It's using the other side as motivation or whatever it may be. Joe, if the Cincinnati Bengals say to T. Higgins, all right, you know what? You're 1A. You're right there with you're right there with Ja'Marr Chase. We see you at a $25 million per year annual average salary. That would make him a top five paid wide receiver in the National Football League. Even the top 10 would put him somewhere around $22, $23 million. Let's say they say that for T. Higgins, right? Which is a little bit north of what the franchise tag value he would be playing under this season in 2024. And he needs a new deal, by the way, because T. Higgins, unlike CeeDee Lamb or Justin Jefferson in 2020, was a second-round pick. That's a four-year rookie contract. Of course, T. Higgins has already played 4 years in the National Football League. So let's say, Joe, they see him as 1A, around $22 to $23 million, a top 10 paid wide receiver in the National Football League. But maybe T. Higgins is saying, no, I'm not top 10, I'm top 5. Give me 25 mil, or again, that trade request stays out there. If you're giving T. Higgins $25 million, again, these are just ballpark terms, but if you're giving T. Higgins $25 million, how much do you have to give Ja'Marr Chase? How much does Cincinnati have to invest after making Joe Burrow the highest paid player in National Football League history at the very end of last offseason as we literally kicked off the 2023 campaign in Kansas City? That's the question, of course, the Bengals have to answer in their front office, and how the contract negotiation timelines and windows between T. Higgins and now Ja'Marr Chase all kind of play hand in hand.
No, you're right about that, and that's what's more important. Who's more important to that offense for the most part, T. Higgins or Ja'Marr Chase, right? You want Ja'Marr Chase to be happy because he's the number one. T. Higgins is the number two on that team, and obviously, you know, if they're going to make a Super Bowl run, you much rather have Ja'Marr Chase in that lineup. We've seen Tyler Boyd, you know, fill in over the years and be that role type of wide receiver. So, again, if they pay the money to Higgins, let's just say, then Chase gets upset, and now you have a big problem. So, again, I don't know what transpires. What I do know is I think Ja'Marr Chase is more integral to that offense than T. Higgins right now. I think T. Higgins is a definite, you know, upgrade and a great number two. But if you're building a team, you want Ja'Marr Chase first and then T. Higgins. So they got to make Chase happy first and then see what they do with Higgins. But they might make Chase happy, Ben. I keep saying this, by bringing his teammate, Justin Jefferson. Jefferson there and then making them both deals. You never know how this plays out.
Yeah. Now, that would be nuts. Then T. Higgins would certainly be on his way, whether that's in a separate deal or in a deal that could potentially lure Jamar or Justin Jefferson from Minnesota. You don't know how this is going to play out. But again, Joe, I think that NFL draft timeline is very interesting. If it's not going to work with T. Higgins in Cincinnati, could the Bengals look to shop him as teams are building for their future with the NFL draft just 10 days away? If there is going to be a T. Higgins deal, I think it happens in the next week and a half. If it does not around NFL draft weekend, Joe, then I think we approach something similar to what we saw last year with Josh Jacobs, with Saquon Barkley, where maybe there's an idea of a holdout for training camp unless a new deal is agreed upon and either he plays under the franchise tag or like Saquon and Josh Jacobs were able to negotiate last year, not the franchise tag, but under a one-year deal that had some incentives that was slightly higher than what the franchise tag value for the running back position was a year ago. That's kind of what I see as the timeline. Either T. Higgins is dealt here in the next 10 days, 2 weeks or so around NFL draft weekend, or he remains in Cincinnati and we go into the summer months with him still hoping for that new deal.
Yeah, and think about this. For certain teams that maybe want to trade out, right, T. Higgins is and what I mean is trade out of, let's say, the top five or top ten, that T. Higgins is a viable option. He's a veteran wide receiver. They might have some money because they're, you know, at the bottom feeders of the league, and they could potentially sign T. Higgins to the deal that he wants and still maybe then get draft capital and build their teams out that way where they can be contenders potentially for a while. Card type of situation. That's the way some teams could attack this draft as opposed to just staying pat, picking best available player, and maybe they don't do themselves any good because it doesn't really fill an immediate need at that particular time. So that's where you might have to keep an eye out on T. Higgins going to a team like New England, especially if they trade out in that type of situation.
Yeah, absolutely so. And that's a really good point, Lisa Guy, in terms of what you make right there. And so when you look at T. Higgins and what the franchise tag is worth for him, it's $21.8 million. I said top 10, top 5. T. Higgins currently under that franchise tag at $21.8 million would be the 11th highest paid receiver in the National Football League entering 2024 at that franchise tag value. So maybe you're saying, what are we even talking about here? 11th highest paid and he wants to be top 5 by a couple more million dollars per year. He also wants a long-term extension. Of course, the 21.8 is only fully guaranteed for 2024. He's hoping for a four-year deal, three-year deal, four-year deal, whatever it might be, that long-term value and some more guaranteed money right up front, which is his prerogative. A lot of people don't like the franchise tag or they don't look fondly at the players because it's still a lot of money given what the annual average salary is for those top and wide receivers or whatever position around the National Football League, but from the player's perspective, of course, the incentive is always there with that personal interest to get paid now and to make it worth it now, not just work on a year-to-year basis and not know what your future is beyond an upcoming season in the National Football League. At least that's how I always view things here, Joe, in terms of that franchise tag value. And T. Higgins does remain, by the way, one of two players at this moment of the nine in total that were tagged earlier this offseason that has not agreed to a long-term deal with his current team or a new team. Legarius Sneed, who was with Kansas City, placed under the tag by the Chiefs, then traded to Tennessee, agreed to a long-term contract extension with the Titans. Brian Burns, tagged by Carolina, traded to the New York Giants, agreed to that long-term deal there as well. Five others around the National Football League have agreed to a long-term deal with their respective franchises who placed them under the tag. Only T. Higgins, right now with the Bengals, and Antoine Winfield Jr., the safety for Tampa Bay, have yet to reach that long-term deal, Joe, after being placed under the tag.
Yeah, and again, if the players aren't signed to a long-term deal with about 10 days left for the draft, it's either very evident the team is looking for other options. GMs are on the move trying to either shop these players or potentially get draft capital where they ship them off and they make a trade and they'll announce it, you know, come the 25th and there they go. You know, that's a potential that we see. We saw with Saquon Barkley right to the end where they signed them at the very last minute. minute, and, you know, he played on a one-year deal in terms of the franchise tag, and now a year later is with the Philadelphia Eagles. That's always an option for some of these players. For much of the NFL, outside the top five, all these teams are in a position to wheel and deal to potentially help themselves, Ben, in regards to the upcoming draft. So this is what we have to see play out. And again, I am curious to see how these players play this year. If they are on the franchise tag, are they all in, or are they not, you know, half 1 foot out the door?
Yeah, and that's what we will see, right? And that's what will be made certain in the next few weeks here around the National Football League draft, around some free agency as well. We'll take a minute away from the National Football League, talk some college ball up next. Spring games this weekend all around the country. And speaking of player movement, that spring transfer portal window opens up today through the end of the month in April 30th. We'll have the conversation up next live right here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on Football Full Circle. It is FFC. Lisi Guy, we transition now from the National Football League to our favorite sport. It's time for some college football conversations after a weekend that featured a ton of spring games. We saw some big ones in the Big Ten. Ohio State in front of a crowd of more than 80,000 people, nationally televised on Fox. Penn State in Happy Valley got their spring football and spring game underway. We saw some action at Ole Miss. It wasn't necessarily a football game, but it's been a good offseason in Oxford, just to name a few. A lot of conversation, though, around CFB. It's a fun time of the year.
It is, and, you know, it's curious to see how a lot of these transfer quarterbacks do fit into their respective offenses. You mentioned Ohio State, Will Howard. Supposedly the staff didn't mention a clear-cut starter, obviously, right, after the spring game, which means they'll battle it out come fall, which is what you want. Devin Brown and Will Howard. Howard did complete, I believe, 9 of 13 for 77 yards, but he wasn't that great of a passer. I mean, he was a good passer, but we're not talking about, you know, one of the most prolific in regards to the Big 12. So how does he fit with this offense with Ryan Day that now has much balance, Travion Henderson and Quinshon Judkins? And then the other quarterback that I saw over the weekend, Ben, wasn't in the Big Ten. It was with Miami and Cam Ward. I think he shined as well. He completed 17 of 23, 240 yards. You know, we talk about Miami getting back to relevance. They have a 9.5 win total. And Mario Cristobal, whatever way you want to cut it, in my opinion, is on the hot seat. They don't at least attempt or challenge that 9 or 10 win season. What did you bring Big Chest Mario into South Beach for? Just to, you know, be a 7-6 football team each year? Unacceptable. So Cam Ward does have good Heisman odds right now when he stepped up in the spring game. Hopefully for the Hurricane faithful, it can continue in September and October.
It's a really good point, Joe. It's going to be a huge year for Miami, and there is a lot of optimism in terms of those odds and some conjecture that Miami is going to make a leap here in year number 3 under Mario Cristobal, because they've been even 500 in the first 2 years under Cristobal. But at the moment, Miami's got a 9.5 win total, where the under has the juice at -158. But when you look around the ACC in this reimagined format, 9.5 is the win total for Clemson. Under has the juice. 9.5 is the win total for Florida State. Under has the juice. So Miami is literally right there by just a couple of cents off from being the favored number to win the new ACC. Of course, the addition of Cal, Stanford, and SMU. Yes, it is the reimagined landscape in college football. You're right, Joe. No quarterback, no starting quarterback named out of Columbus. A very similar story to what was a year ago, really, when you think about it. Because if you remember, we had no clear name starter between Kyle McCord or Devin Brown, really, until we got much closer to the start of the 2023 college football season. McCord now in Syracuse, the quarterback of the Orange, my alma mater. Love what I see out of there. Devin Brown stayed, did not enter the transfer portal, wanted to compete with Will Howard. Also some young guys, and Julian Sain and Lincoln Kineholtz, that are now there in Columbus as well. Ultimately, Joe, I think it will be Will Howard. And one of the reasons I think it's going to be Will Howard is because of the new offensive coordinator for the Buckeyes. His name, of course, is Chip Kelly. And one thing we know about Chip Kelly, whether it's been at UCLA or, of course, during his time at Oregon or even in the National Football League, he loves mobile quarterbacks, and Will Howard is that. And when you pair Will Howard alongside Quinshon Judkins and in the backfield, Trevion Henderson remains in Columbus, this is a team, Joe, that I expect to finish top five in the country in rushing yards. If they don't, it's a flat-out disappointment. And I do think with how talented the wide receivers are at Ohio State as well, this is going to be your best offense in the country.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, think about what he did with Dorian Thompson-Robinson at UCLA, right? Mobile quarterback, a thrower and a passer, and now you get the athletic Will Howard to come to Columbus. And you mentioned those running backs, Henderson and Junkins. The problem is they're all going to take snaps from each other, right? Yeah. So don't bet any of them for the Heisman odds, because you're right. They love to pound the rock, and that'll help their defense. We've seen a transition, Ben, in regards to the NFL running more run-heavy offense. You know, it's a trickle-down effect as well as it relates to college. We saw Michigan win the national championship. Yeah, they could throw it with J.J. McCarthy, but they were a ball-heavy rush attack with Blake Corum and Donovan Edwards, especially in the national championship game. So if you can pound the rock, you're going to be in games each and every weekend, and we'll see how this plays out in Columbus. It is an experiment now, because they don't get to the college football playoff. Ryan Day is on the hot seat as well, and they need to challenge Michigan this year.
Without a shadow of a doubt, you can't miss the college football playoff two of the previous 3 years, and almost got there, of course, a couple of times, and almost got to the national championship game 2 years ago. Noah Ruggles' 50-yard field goal missed just wide left. But Ohio State enters the year, Joe, with the expectation they are a college football playoff team. Second best price to win the national championship, only behind Georgia, plus 450 for the Buckeyes. It is a 3-1 number on Georgia. Ohio State to make the college football playoff is minus 500. Again, 12-team format now for the CFP. We expect there to be multiple teams from the Big Ten and the SEC. Speaking of the SEC, Alabama's first spring game, the Classic A game under Kalen DeBoer, has come to a close. A day is what I really should have said right there for the Crimson Tide in Tuscaloosa. But his first spring practice for DeBoer now in Tuscaloosa has come to a close. You tweeted this out, and our good friend Kevin Walsh of Jalen Milroe throwing a dime in Tuscaloosa on Saturday. Kalen DeBoer now steps up and in, of course, filling very big shoes with Nick Saban.
Yeah, I mean, again, 9.5 win total. Schedule, very difficult. Not going to be easy. Ole Miss with Lane Kiffin. You got Tennessee with Nico. LSU with Nussmeier. So the list goes on and on. I mean, this is it for Kalen DeBoer. He has to hit the ground running. There is no wait-and-see type of situation. Let me get acclimated with the players. He's got one of the most athletic quarterbacks in Jalen Milroe. We could see what he did with Michael Penix in terms of his development at Indiana, and more importantly at Washington, and now this is it. He has the opportunity to work with his offense and instill it. The question remains is, what happens to the defense, right? Is that defense going to be as dominant as they were over the tutelage of Nick Saban throughout the last 16 or 17 years? We'll see, because right now I would say, just based off of where they are, they're not the best team in the West right now. I would put LSU, I would put Ole Miss there, and the reason why I say that is you have coaching staffs in place that understand the talent. Let's see. Just because it's Alabama doesn't mean like it's plug and play right now. I need to see it before I believe it.
What's the West? What are you talking about?
Well, yeah, that's true.
It's there's no divisions anymore, Lisi guy. Come on,
I know, but it's still, you know what I mean. I mean, just in regards to the perception, I mean, you know, those teams, I would still say, have solidified staffs, and they have competent quarterbacks that they know their identity. We still don't know the identity of Kalen DeBoer in Alabama yet. We can only hope, and that's why the 9.5 total is pretty interesting.
It really is. And listen, as you go up and down the SEC, Georgia, national championship favorite, -500 is the number for the Bulldogs to see the college football playoff once again. Ole Miss at this moment is -122 to make the college football playoff. Even a team that has a plus money number out of the Southeastern Conference, that would be LSU +116. It's a better price to see the CFP than that of Alabama at +125. We could start right there, Joe. When's the last time you saw the Crimson Tide plus money entering a season to get to the college football playoff in the 10-year history of the 14 format? I'm not sure it's ever happened. But it certainly is surprising to see this year. 9.5 the win total. And I think, one, it's, of course, the replacement of Nick Saban, even with Kalen DeBoer being the guy for the job and a highly successful head coach, rather, at every stop for him along the journey at whatever level. Of course, being the head man in Tuscaloosa of the Tide is a much different animal. So that's what I think is factor number one. But it's also factor two when you look at those perennial teams out of the SEC. And then you add Oklahoma and Texas. I said Georgia -500 to see the CFP. Texas has that second best price out of the SEC at -230. It's not just going to be, all right, Alabama expected to win the SEC West. Can they hold off LSU and Ole Miss and Mississippi State and so on and so forth? And they'll match up with whoever wins the East in a championship game. It's going to be a gauntlet this year in these mega conferences now in conference realignment. I think it's a two-part factor in terms of that conversation. It's not only replacing the great one that was Nick Saban with Kalen DeBoer that has moved the market just a little bit, but it's also the fact that the reimagined landscape of college football makes it a lot more difficult to just get 10, 11 wins and think you're going to be in the CFP at the end of the day.
Yeah, I mean, they have those games that I mentioned, and they still have to play Georgia as well. So I believe that's crazy when you think about just the schedule. And we talk about it. Just look at it, right? 13-1. I would say maybe 2009, right? That season, you know, you'd have to go back and look at the Vegas odds back then. But 2009 would be my best guess since they were double digits in regards to a 13-1 price. Because ever since he's dominated college football, they have been negative or maybe slightly plus money in regards to the SEC as it relates to winning the championship and winning the national championship. The fact that you have four teams ahead of them already and just LSU $2 behind them at 15-1 is mind-boggling. Really shows you where this program is. They're at a pivotal stage, Ben. We think that Kalen DeBoer could obviously do it and maintain that momentum, but, you know, we have to see it, and obviously he has to coach it, so only time will tell.
Right. You know, there was last year, right, where Alabama was not ranked in the top three of the preseason AP poll for the first time since 2015, did not receive a single first place vote for the first time since 2009. Maybe flip those things, but 09 and 15, really the two times that Alabama, at least in terms of the offseason or preseason picture, was not expected to be the top dog when all is said and done. And of course, in both 2009 and 2015, they ended up winning a national championship. And I love the fact that Alabama and Georgia are playing each other in the regular season. It will be just the third regular season matchup between the Tide and the Bulldogs since 2015. Just the third. Now, they've played what is seven times since 2015, including the SEC championship game a year ago, of course, that kept Georgia out of the CFP. But only twice in those seven matchups have we seen it take place in the regular season. That's what we get here in 2024. Joe, what did you make of Ole Miss's spring game, if you want to call it that? It was really just like a dodgeball skills competition. They had a dunk contest out there in the Grove in Oxford. What did you make of the running Rebs and how Lane Kiffin decided to orchestrate his spring, very much in air quotes, game?
Yeah, I liked it, believe it or not, because, you know, if there's one coach that gets the landscape of college football currently, it's Lane Kiffin. And obviously, he made it fun and happy. And again, I say this all the time. We know that spring games don't show you anything. If you think you're going to gauge from an opponent, it's vanilla offensive, defensive game plans. All you want to do is come out there without any significant injuries.
For sure. And it is not necessarily even a full scrimmage. It can be, but it's really a glorified practice. It's part of the pageantry to get people back inside a stadium and build up some excitement for a year to come. We'll finish our conversation around college football up next here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. He's Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. Something to pay attention to, Joe, at the end of a lot of spring games around the country this weekend is the spring transfer portal window and what exactly that can mean for fall camp. Any big names that have entered, of course, we will keep you up to date on it all. But, Joe, when you look around the country in college football, one thing that stood out to me this weekend, Chip Kelly, the offensive coordinator at Ohio State, former Indiana head coach Tom Allen, who was let go, of course, at the end of last season, now the defensive coordinator at Penn State. And listen, we have made this argument a couple of times, Joe, in the last 2 years. Could the Nittany Lions finally get past Michigan and or Ohio State to win the Big Ten East, to get to a Big Ten championship game and back into the college football playoff? The answer was no. This year, at least, it might not matter. Penn State minus 142 to see the college football playoff.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to – Drew Eller needs to step up, Ben, you know. And Tom Allen is a much better coordinator than he is head coach, so I think the defense won't miss a beat with Manny Diaz now being the head coach. It's never been about the defense. It's been about the offense. They should have lured Chip Kelly from UCLA to Happy Valley, and maybe they'd have a shot. They got to compete with Ohio State. I mean, yeah, they should make the playoff, but in a big spot, Drew Eller needs to be able to throw for 300, and that's a concern.
Yeah, it certainly is. And that wasn't the case last year for Drew Allen. Will it be moving forward? That's a different conversation. But there's a lot of talent there in the backfield for the Nittany Lions. A lot of talent that returns defensively as well, led by Abdul Carter under a new DC in Tom Allen. By the way, if you're keeping track, there were three teams favored out of the SEC to get to the college football playoff. We talked about them all here. Georgia, Texas, LSU, three teams favored out of the Big Ten to see the CFP as well. Ohio State leads the way, the newcomer Oregon, and Penn State. He's Joe Lisi. I'm Ben Stevens. That does it for us on this Monday on Football Full Circle. But FFC, back tomorrow starting at noon Eastern time on Sports Grid Radio.